the Word of God can hear.
Amen.
It'd be good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning.
And amongst like-minded believers, like the family of God. And it's a help to me to be able to be with people that are like-minded. You know, it discourages me sometimes being in a workplace and have a lot of people that do not believe the ways you do, and don't have the same standards and morals and thought patterns that you do. It gets very frustrating. I'm just grateful I have a place to come and gather together. And the Bible tells us, forsake not gathering yourselves together. And I'm grateful we have that opportunity in this day that we can openly come and gather ourselves together, worship the true and living God of heaven. And I will ask Brother Shirley, if you will pray for me this morning and ask God to be with us. Yes, Father, I pray God to move me. Touch me.
The message this morning is a question that Paul gave me the right word of faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen. If you got a Bible, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter
number 12. Very familiar scripture. We've brought it before. And I know it's been taught before, been brought forth before, but going to this camp meeting this in Kentucky, this trip, you know, we took, God really been dealing my heart a lot and dealing with a holiness, a living holy, having a holy spirit, a countenance about, you know, about ourselves and especially about myself. You know, God's been dealing with me on a lot of different issues. And a lot of different characteristics is coming forth that ought not. And it's just been helpful to me just to be able to reminisce and bring back the remembrance of the scripture. But here in Romans number 12 and verse number 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, in the text here, there's a couple things I really want to focus on. My main focus is really going to be on verse 2. The beginning part of that is, be not conformed to this world. Now, this scripture here, this is actually a scripture that's dedicated. It's kind of aimed at and directed directly to the people or the saints of God. Now, granted, this can have a general application to a normal person, but the thing about it is, this is directed directly at the saints of God, child of God. We need to take notice of some things in what it says. Now, I've also been trying to take in how Brother Robert has done as far as doing a word study. It would really help you if you've done that yourself. I mean, I understand and know we have an understanding in reading, and it's, I beseech you, we have an understanding of whenever we read it. So I beseech you to take notice of or to adhere or take heed of, you know, you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you know, we have an understanding. When we lay things out, we can read it and understand it. But really, if we actually take into account what the Scripture is saying and break it down in word study, that's something that's been really brought to my mind of late and helped me. And if God will help me a little bit, I want to bring some things to your mind and help, Lord willing, help you as it does help me. Here in verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I can't help but I want to think about that word holy. We have an understanding of what it means to sacrifice. We give something up, or we sacrifice ourselves. But in this, it says, we present your bodies a living sacrifice. Whenever we talk about our bodies, that's really a physical body. And in our physical body, we still have, as a child of God, we still have that tug of the world. We still have a lot of pull. We still have a lot of temptation and desire. That's not going to pass away until we have a new body in Christ. Now, to be able to walk holy, we have to be able to take our bodies and push it aside, those desires and those things that we would do. I mean, even Paul said, you know, the things that I would do, I do not. And those things that I would do, I do. Those things that I would not do, those are things that I do. So we do have a warfare in our bodies. It's something that we have to take knowledge of every single day and be sober about. And we cannot allow our bodies and our thoughts and our mindsets to be turned away from God and spiritual things. Because it is. It's very easy in our everyday myself, but your walk and Brother Keith's walk and Jeremy's walk, everybody's got a different thing that they face every day. And the things that I have to face are not going to be the things that you have to face. But every day I'm going to have to take into consideration those things that are going to be spiritual and those things that are going to be carnal. And those things that are carnal, I'm going to have to push them away. I'm going to have to sacrifice them things and put them out from myself in order to be able to have that spiritual walk, in order to have that holiness and that walk with God. If I'm going to walk holy, if I'm going to be able to walk next to God, hand in hand with God, if I'm going to have that spiritual life, that spiritual walk, that body, that temptation that is in me, that warfare that's in me, I'm going to have to push it away. And I'm going to have to overcome it. And I'm going to have to just completely sacrifice myself and dedicate myself unto Christ. That's going to be a daily thing. That term holy, I mean, we have just a general understanding of holy. We do. I mean, whenever you think about it, you think, hey, that's, but if you really think about it, in short, it's dedication or consecration unto God. That's really what it is. God in Himself is nothing but holy. So in our search, and when we sacrifice ourselves, and we present ourselves a living sacrifice, and we present ourselves holy, we are dedicated or consecrated unto Him. And in other words, we need to walk in His ways, His statute, and His will. That's the only way. It says, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And that's the only way. If we are sacrificing our bodies, if we present ourselves a living sacrifice, and we present ourselves as holy unto God, completely consecrated, completely dedicated unto Him, then, as we are acceptable, only in that way are we acceptable. In other words, we're only acceptable through Jesus Christ. We're only acceptable being washed in His blood and presented ourselves as that living sacrifice. Christ sacrificed Himself, therefore we also must sacrifice ourselves daily. This ain't just one time thing. Granted, when what's done out on the altar, what's done out there on Calvary, it's done and over with. As He said, it's finished. But the thing about it is, we have a daily walk, a daily presenting of ourselves unto God. There's that time. I mean, I can't help it. I mean, me and Preacher was talking about this the other day. We went to Winston-Salem. You know, it's important, you know, for a person to a spouse to want to have a good rapport with their other spouse. You know, if you can't maintain that relationship, if you can't maintain it in a every day and dedicate some time, and dedicate yourself under that one, then that relationship would have a tendency to crumble. And that's why I said, you know, you present yourselves a living sacrifice. That's a continual presenting. I mean, that's whenever I go out with my wife or something like that, that's a continual work, a continual growing, a continual relationship. But it's all dependent upon how long I continue and move forward and continue on and present myself unto her and submit my love to her and continue on and walking with her. That's how we continue on in presenting our bodies and presenting ourselves holy. is we have to continue on. It's an every single day march. I mean, we're also equated in the Bible as being soldiers. And in order to march as a soldier, you can't just stop off at the last battle and stay there. And you can't just say it when your battle's over and done with. You can't just turn around and go the other way. It's like the warfare's over. Hey, one of these days that trumpet victory will sound. That's a coming. Now, God done said that. But the thing about it is, it's a daily walk. It's a daily presenting. It's a daily time of fellowship and presenting ourselves wholly unto God. It ain't something we can just pass off like, oh, yeah, it's done and over with. It's a continual walk, a continual want to be dedicated and separated, consecrated unto God. It's every day. You know, the thing about it is also, which the final part, it says, this is your reasonable service. Yeah, that just kind of brings back to mind Ecclesiastes there. Let me find that real quick. You know, God's been so good to us. You know, but yet we tend to fail Him. And so, but you know, what He's done for us, that's eternal. What we try and do in the flesh, I mean, outside of Christ, that ain't nothing but temporal. But that's the thing, we got to continue on in His way, in His work. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Man as himself, being birthed, being given, having a person outside of God, can say, thank you, Lord, for providing me a meal, a roof over my head, clothes over my on my body.
Yes,
there's nobody in this world that's going to be without exception that whenever they stand before God, they cannot say, God, you didn't do anything for me. Hey, the animals in this world can't go without eating. God provides for them. God provided us something so much greater in this world. He given Himself a living sacrifice. He sacrificed Himself out on Calvary. So we have a duty unto the God of heaven, saint of God, to be able to walk in His ways, walk in His statutes. He's given Himself for us. This is your reasonable service. When we present ourselves holy and acceptable unto God, when we consecrate ourselves unto God, our service, we present our bodies unto God, but wait, we as a child of God, we are servants of God. That doesn't necessarily mean, hey, God saved me, I'm going to sit down in a church pew. There's some work to be done. If we're going to present, if the church is going to present itself holy and acceptable unto God, we've got a work to do. The work is in Jesus Christ. The work is in getting out there. He's been sent the church out into the world today in order to get the gospel out. That's his proven method by preaching the gospel. He says, I've chosen that method, a certain method by the foolishness of preaching. So the gospel's got to go forth. That's an entirely different subject. I ain't going to go on into that. But it's just the idea that we must present ourselves in servitude and submission. And we need to present our bodies unto God. Verse number 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's think about that for just a minute. That word, conform. Let's look at that one. By definition, the word conform means, in short, to comply with rules, standards, or laws, to behave according to society acceptable conventions or standards, to be similar in form or type, or agree with. So, in short, if we find ourselves conforming, we fall in line with their statutes, the world's statutes. We fall in line with what they say is good. When we already have the law of God, we already know what's good or bad. I mean, think about this. It's like they try and say today that this transgender movement is okay. And the thing about it, and I'm not saying we're going to have to throw up our signs and everything like that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm saying is we ought to be able to take a stand and say that is not right. That is not according to the law of God. And if you just sit there with your hands on your lap and you just all you're doing is making way for it. And I'm not saying we ought to be out there just blasting people. Oh, you're going to hell and you're just blah, blah, blah. No, we don't do that. We're going to have to portray Christ in us. You let God deal with those kind of things. God will handle it. He says, vengeance is mine. That's His thing. The thing about it is, we are not of the world, but we are in the world. And if we're not out there walking and your daily walk and working and whatever else you do, and you're not portraying Christ, you're giving way for the world in your own heart and in your own family. And this is to the child of God. Man, I'm really burdened in my own heart about some different things, you know. I just talking to these men of God up there at that meeting and just sitting back and listening to them. You know, I didn't have a huge example of how to live. I mean, I had a good father. Don't get me wrong. I'm not shortchanging that. God's put me in a good family. My daddy's a good man, that kind of thing. But I mean, I didn't really have that godly man. I didn't have that example that I should have. And even now, I'm still struggling and trying to ground myself in different attributes and characteristics that are becoming of a man of God, that my daughter and my son and my wife would see that. We need to be an example out in that world. Somebody starts talking about, well, did you hear about this? Hey, God don't ordain that. God ain't okay with that. You know, I've got even family members, people that turned their back on me just because I've said that this gay and lesbian or whatever type of movement, it's not of God. They've turned their back on me just because I've said it. And I didn't say it in a way that said, hey, you're going to hell. I said, that's not of God. That's just simply what the Word of God says. You know, hey, I love you, but God's not okay with that. And they went their own way. I've even had people that I grew up knowing and has cared for me and watched over me that turned that same way. And I've tried to talk to them and witnessing to them and I told them, God's not okay with that. And He knew the truth. And sooner or later, I remember the day I got the call. He's no longer with us. I believe God. Hey, God does not. He is not one to be mocked. You cannot mock God and not reap the consequences in this day. If you're walking in an unholy way and you know truth, God will act. Child of God or no child of God, God is not one to be mocked. You want an example of that? Look back at those children that mocked that man of God. What happened to them? God will not be mocked. I don't know why I hit on that. God just put that on my heart. But it's just one of them things that, you know, when we conform ourselves to this world, we accept their standards or we accept their moral standards or moral ways and things like along those lines. We accept that into our life as being okay. Or we don't stand up and say that's wrong. That we're just kind of, We are giving way unto that as being correct. We're taking God out of our own lives and doing that. Now, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. What's that word transformed mean? Let's look at that for a minute. When we are transformed, we are constantly remade. We're something new. You think about this. You think about how the potter takes that ball of clay. When it first gets there, it's void, without form. Like, I mean, think about that. Look over in Genesis chapter 1 there. Void without form. And God, and that artisan or that man will take that clay and start forming it, making it. You know, there's different stages of it. It's working its way up. It's forming. It's got that turntable. There's all kinds of different things. He's forming it and working it, and he makes the vase or the vessel, whatever it is. He's got a purpose for that vessel. Whatever it's being formed into, he's going to have a purpose, whether it be a cup or a vase or a bowl. We don't know. But the potter knows. And there's going to be different stages of formation. And it goes from this nasty ball of mud, so to speak, and it's formed into this beautiful piece of, I guess you could say, either a vessel, whatever it'd be. The end result. I mean, think about a butterfly. Starts off as this nasty looking little old worm. Eventually it goes into this little old cocoon or chrysalis, and what comes out is beautiful, multicolored. And there's a transformation that goes from that ugly old worm and brought forth something beautiful. When we are transformed, that's a continuation right there in our walk. We've already said it, you know, presenting our body the living sacrifice. That is in part tied directly to being transformed. It's a continuation. Whenever God's called us up and He's given us that perfected body, eventually one of these days when He does call us up, we're gonna be complete. But see, we don't transform ourselves, but God does the work in us. But we have to pull up to Him. He's the one. You can't sit there and say God's helping me when you're afar off walking in darkness. You can't say you're continuing to grow and be something new whenever you're walking in the ways of the world. So if we're not conforming ourselves to the ways of the world, we're not conforming ourselves to the most moral standards and things of this world, and we are being continually transformed, how are we continuing to transform ourselves? And it's not us doing the work, but God doing it. But the only way we can do that is to stay in His Word and stay in His work, stay in His will. That's the only way. That's the only way we can continue to have a holy life and find ourselves acceptable. By the renewing of your mind. That's an interesting word right there. That word, renew. That's really a threefold definition. It is, in short, to resume an activity after interruption, reestablish, or repeat. Reestablish being in relation to a relationship, I guess you can say, or repeat being an action or statement. When we talk about renewing ourselves, or we resume. And the thing about this, we resume study every day. We resume our prayer walk every day. We resume that time of devotion every day. Then we reestablish here a relationship. This is what to renew is resume, reestablish, or repeat. When we reestablish that link. I mean, that's just like every day when you go to bed. I roll over in the morning, there's my wife. I can reestablish conversation I had before. I can have the conversation again if I wanted to. That's what I was talking about when you talk about your prayer life. Every day, it's imperative that we renew ourselves in prayer every day. We reestablish that prayer walk, that time with God every single day. Reestablish that relationship, that communication. Every day. That relationship is dependent upon communication. If you cannot communicate, there is no relationship. Am I right, Susan? If we don't talk, there seems to be a void between us. Is that not right? Brother Shank, if you don't talk to Miss Pat, is there not a void there, a wedge, so to speak? In order to renew ourselves, every single day. In order to reestablish ourselves every single day, we need to pray and seek out God in His Word. It's unavoidable in this day. If we are to continue the church, if we are to continue our families in the walk of God, if we want our prayers answered, if we want God to move in our families and our loved ones, and we want the blessings of God, if we want His presence, we're going to have to continue on in what I'm saying here in reestablishing our rapport with Him every day. It's not just one time thing. And I know I'm getting like a broken record. It's not just one time thing that we can just say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving me," and go about our way. It's not like that. He equates the church into His bride. And that really ties in what I just said about if I don't talk to my wife or I don't have that rapport. I mean, I know she probably gets aggravated at me sometimes. I tend to call her 3 or 4 times a day from work. "Hey, honey, how are you? You doing all right?" I just want to hear her voice. I'm not big on conversation overly, if you don't let me ask her. But I like to hear her voice. I like to hear the voice of my children. "Hey, Daddy." I don't think God would be any different. God loved me, gave Himself for me. I want to reestablish that relationship, that walk with Him every day. I want to be like, "Father in heaven, help me." How can we renew ourselves? How can we continue to have a walk with God? It's just to reestablish that relationship. Renew yourself every day. Man, I like that last one. Resume, reestablish, repeat. That's basic. That's like shampooing your hair. Rinse, or you wet your hair, lather in, rinse out, repeat. Same thing. Easy to remember. And I know that's funny, but that's as simple as it gets. That's an everyday thing. That's an everyday rapport. John picks on me at work for me because every day about the same time I'm untucking my shirt. Well, I mean, that's just habit. If you're doing it every day, it becomes habit. It becomes something you desire every day. I mean, I just do it out of habit now. I mean, I'm not tucking my shirt, but every day, if we get to a point where we're praying at the same time, and if we have our prayer place, and we have that rapport with God, we have it at a certain time, like, "Oh, it's 3 o'clock, let's go do this." Or, "Hey, it's time to get up in the morning, I'm going to open up my Word of God, I'm going to pray, I'm going to have some time with God." How many every day, single day, wake up and eat breakfast at the same time? How many of you? I'm not asking for a show of hands or anything, but just in yourself, in your mind, think about that. You wake up, have your same routine every single morning. How hard would that be just to establish a little bit of a rapport with God in that same time period? Hey, sometimes it might seem like it might be a hard thing to do, but sometimes some time passes and you're doing it every single day. Sometimes afterwards, and you do it for so long, it becomes just something that it's a habit. You know, you, if you don't do it every day, something you're like, "Oh, something's wrong. I want God every day. I'm missing something. Something's wrong." If we repeat this thing every single day, and not just every day, but I mean, if something's wrong in your heart, if you got all in your heart, or if you're downtrodden or something along those lines, that's a step you can repeat multiple times. Get in touch with God. Don't go the way of this world. Don't go the way that they say is okay or acceptable. It's not. The only way that they're going to see it is if you say something. That renewing every day, if the world sees you renewing yourself every day, they're going to notice it. They're going to notice you praying every day. They notice Daniel. Daniel didn't conform into the law. He said, "Hey, I'm going to pray unto my God. I'm not going to go in and shut myself in. They're going to see me. My window's open. My door is open." The church house ought to be the same way. The same way. It's not going to change. God's not going to change His Word just to conform Himself unto us. He ain't done that since in the beginning. See, and us doing these things here, not conforming to the world, but renewing ourselves and being transformed, we will prove we will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me turn to Leviticus for just a second. I got one verse of scripture that I want to read. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse number 7. Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. So we are commanded. Now, granted, this is the Old Testament book and it's written directly to the children of Israel. But that doesn't change the fact that we can make application today and should make application today. I'm not saying we can, but I'm saying we should. Sanctify yourselves. When we talk about sanctification, that's being set apart. When I said a little while ago about we're in the world, not of the world, hey, whenever we're talking about sanctification, they understand and know there's something different about that individual. There's something different about that person right there, and I don't have it. What is it? They'll start answering. They'll start asking that. I remember, I mean, and I fail at work. Don't get me wrong. I fail a long ways. When I first came to where I work now, there was a lot of people there. They knew exactly there was something different about me. I'm telling you this because I want your prayers. I need God to help me and get me back to where I need to be. But they would not have certain conversation around me. They would not joke about certain things around me. They would not include me in a lot of their talk or conversation because they always equate me. Chris, I thought you was a man of the cloth. They pick on me. And I just take it, yeah, I'm God's man. And then we ought to take it. Turn the other cheek. Because, hey, guess what? We're going to face persecution. We're going to face a lot of different things in this world to come. I mean, we ain't really experienced much of nothing yet, but hey, guess what? It's coming. We need to continue on in presenting ourselves holy. Church, mama, daddy, brother, sister, we need to present ourselves holy. Live holy. We talk about different things that we have in this world. We need to continue on presenting ourselves holy. I'm not saying we can't go out and enjoy a meal. And as some men of God, I've heard them say, if you go to the movie, you're... Hey, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to let God put that in your heart. I mean, you ain't going to get help from those things. Most likely, you'll probably hurt yourself. Lord knows I've experienced those things. But the thing about it is, when we devote our time to other things other than God, we devote our other, I guess, activities outside of what God would have us do. I'm talking about just, you know, say for instance, video games. I have some. I have a couple video systems. I've noticed myself, I don't pick them up like I used to. Not that I don't want to play a video game every now and then, but I don't have that desire. The desire for those things it's not there. Granted, a lot of the music I used to listen to. You can go through my radio if you want to. A lot of that music, I still pull it up in my mind. Me and John pick about it at work sometimes. I don't have the desire to listen to it anymore. I mean, yeah, I'll reminisce, and sometimes I'll get that tune in my head, but I mean, so far into it, I'm like, man, this ain't doing nothing for me. It really don't. Does it hurt? Is it going to crucify me to listen to it? No, but it ain't going to help me. It ain't going to further my walk with God. That's the real thing here. Is this two scriptures right here is really about furthering our walk with God, presenting ourselves holy unto God, and sanctifying ourselves, church, with God and away from the world. Being set apart from the world. That's really what it comes down to. Church, I really hope this helps you. It's been really something that's been burning on my mind for a little while. Coming back from that. I mean, that's really the focus of that meeting was a lot aimed at living holy, presenting yourself holy. That's the only way the world's going to see any difference in the church is if we present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy. God help us in this day. Danny, close us out with prayer, please.